Listening Library presents Under the Surface by Diana Urban. Read for you by Rebecca Soler and Max Myers. Inspired by true events. For those lost in darkness, have hope. Prologue. Ruby. I never thought I'd die alone in the dark under the City of Light. That's what they call Paris, the City of Light. Makes sense when you think of the Eiffel Tower glinting in the sun or sparkling at night over the Seine, or the vibrant paintings bedecking the palatial Louvre Museum, or the glittering fashionistas strolling the Champs-Élysées, or the dazzling boulevards with whitewashed buildings gleaming like pearls against the blue sky. God, I'd kill for some of that light right now. As I hurtle through the dark, cramped corridor deep underground, my phone's flashlight makes elongated shadows bounce and bob across the craggy walls like a chaotic, ghostly dance, and I have to stoop to keep my skull from slamming into the low, jagged ceiling. There's no sign of the others. Terror claws up my chest, and I try not to think of the crunching noises under my boots. Try not to think how it's only a matter of time until my phone runs out of power, until my mouth parches, my stomach shrivels, and my legs give out beneath me. Then, there'll be nothing to do but curl into a ball and wait for the darkness to become infinite. Unless they get to me first. No, that can't happen. I won't let it. I turn a corner and slam my back against the wall, then toggle off my flashlight, plunging the corridor into pitch blackness. But hiding in the dark means my friends won't find me either. I breathe hard, feeling like I could choke on the dank, humid air, and a sob scrapes my throat. I'm screwed. Undeniably, irrevocably screwed. But I can't spiral. Panicking got me into this mess to begin with. Keeping my spirits up among 6 million corpses isn't exactly an easy feat. That's how many are entombed down here in the catacombs, their skeletal remains intricately arranged throughout this ancient labyrinth that stretches under the bustling streets of Paris like layers of rotted casserole squished under a decadent crust. My chest constricts, and it's like I can feel the crushing weight of all 6 million dead. And that number's high enough, thank you very much. A low, rasping growl echoes through the passageway. My heart jolts, and I clamp a shaking hand over my mouth to mask my heavy breathing. But it's too late. They found me. Maybe there are worse things than dying alone. Chapter 1. Ruby. 2 days earlier. Now's our chance, I whisper to my best friends, Sean and Val, under the shadow of the Eiffel Tower. Let's go. It's only our first day in Paris, the culmination of studying my ass off in French class and fundraising to death to go on the best trip in the history of ever. And I'm already trying to sneak away from our class. Go where? Sean frowns and glances at our teacher, Mr. Lebrecq, who, for some bizarre reason, scheduled us to take in the sweeping views atop the Eiffel Tower while delirious with jet lag. He's gesturing wildly at the engraved names of French scientists and engineers under the first balcony, while half the class is verging on a collective collapse and the others bursting with adrenaline-fueled giddiness. To find that bunker! I look to Val for backup, but she's stuck in a stupor. I don't think we have time, says Sean. But it's literally right there. The secret military bunker I read about. A secret no other travel YouTuber has covered, as far as I know, is supposedly hidden beneath the South Pillar, which I can see from right here at this very moment. Not on my laptop screen, not on my phone, with my actual human eyeballs. I asked Mr. Lebrecq earlier if we could scope out the bunker as a class, but he huffed.
I already squeezed the catacombs into our itinerary for you,
This whole trip can't be the Ruby show.
A jab at my channel, Ruby's Hidden Gems. As much as I respect the snark, it shattered any illusion that my teachers knew nothing of my online endeavors. And if my teachers know, Dad probably knows too. Dad's not exactly sold on my jet-setting aspirations, but it's kind of hard to make it as a travel YouTuber when you can't, you know, travel. If it were up to him, he'd swaddle me for eternity. At least whenever I'm not nursing his hangovers or waiting tables at his restaurant. He wants me to keep working there while I go to community college, and when I told him Val asked me to backpack across Europe with her after graduation, such a tormented expression crossed his round, bearded face that he looked gaunt. This week's as much a trial run for him as it is for me, and for once, I'm not the one most likely to fail. I can't worry about that now. Not here, at the Eiffel freaking Tower. I've daydreamed about this moment for too long to worry about anything except how quickly it will become a memory. I need to savor every minute, film every nook, explore every cranny. Even if it means sneaking away from our class for like 0.2 seconds. I tug Sean's jacket sleeve. Come on. But Val's still zoning out. Val. The bunker? Oh, right, sorry. Val blinks furiously and adjusts her purple horn-rimmed glasses under her black bangs, a sharp contrast to her alabaster skin and vibrant hazel eyes. Extreme hottie at 9 o'clock. I look, but nobody stands out in the swarm of tourists. Mr. Lebrecht's facing us again. I groan. So much for that. It's not like Val to waste chances. She's an adrenaline junkie who craves, no, demands attention at all times. Last year when she moved to Starborough, our sleepy suburb north of Boston, she burst into my life like the Tasmanian devil, dragging me kicking and screaming from my comfort zone. Some of our exploits would give Dad an aneurysm, like breaking into the crypts under Old North Church, whitewater rafting in the Berkshires, and bribing this cute park ranger to let us camp overnight on George's Island. But the more daring we got, the more my subscriber count jumped, so after a while I didn't need much convincing. And look at me now, instigating the sneakage. Lebrecht told us to stick together anyway. Sean motions to the 12 other seniors on this trip. We've distanced ourselves behind them in a futile attempt to keep them from video bombing my slow pans and zooms, oblivious as worms on wet pavement. But getting footage of that bunker would make my video pop, I argue. Everyone and their grandma has posted about the Eiffel Tower. Not my grandma, he says deadpan. I snort. You know what I mean. Well, we shouldn't. Val rolls her eyes. A way to have zero chill. Sean crosses his arms. Stick a rule book in front of him, and he'll have it memorized in an hour. He's JROTC, and plans to join the military after graduation like his dad. And his towering athletic stature. Broad shoulders, faded buzz cut, chiseled cheekbones, and perpetually furrowed brows sure make it easy to picture him in uniform. And picture it, I do. Often. But getting that uniform will take him away from me. Now, Val whispers. Now, now, now. Mr. Lebrecht's gesticulating at the tower again, and I nod, my fingertips buzzing with adrenaline as Val clasps them. Sean shoots his hand into the air. Sir?
What are you doing?
I squeak, swatting his cargo jacket's sleeve.
Mr. Lebrecht, sir? He says, ignoring me as our teacher turns around. Sorry to interrupt, but is it okay if the three of us head over there for a minute?
He motions vaguely toward the south pillar.
Ruby wants to grab some footage.
Mr. Lebrecht sighs, exasperated, and checks his watch.
Our tickets are for 15 minutes from now. Be back here in 10.
Thanks, Val calls back, already making a beeline for the south pillar. Sean throws me a lopsided grin and steers me.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?